From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to a special Religious Freedom Day edition of Washington Watch. It was on this day in 1786 that the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom, written by Thomas Jefferson, was passed by the Virginia General Assembly. This historic document codified into law an understanding that went back to the Pilgrims, that religious liberty is an inherent right granted by God, not gifted by government. Specifically, the statute made it clear that no one could be compelled to attend or support any religious worship, nor could they be hindered or harmed by their own religious beliefs or exercise. Jefferson's Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom provided the model for the First Amendment, drafted by James Madison just a few years later. Thomas Jefferson noted that the people could change the law, but warned against it, because these are natural rights. Natural rights can be repressed, but they can't be erased. They will find a way of expression. Therefore, great attention should be given to the recognition and preservation of these God-given rights, for they are vital to the safety and stability of a free people. President Trump today, in an official proclamation, once again stated his administration's commitment to our first freedom. Quote, our nation was founded on the premise that a just government abides by the laws of nature and of nature's God. He went on to say, as the founders recognized, the Constitution protects religious freedom to secure the rights endowed to man by his very nature. On this day, we recognize this history and affirm our commitment to the preservation of religious freedom. In addition, Vice President Mike Pence tweeted, quote, protecting and promoting religious freedom is a foreign policy priority of this administration. On this National Religious Freedom Day, let us rededicate ourselves to that first freedom, end quote. Acting Attorney General Matthew Whitaker spoke today in a commemoration of Religious Freedom Day and highlighted the importance of the bipartisan Religious Freedom Restoration Act in protecting this right. And today, we join in that effort here at the Family Research Council with this special edition of Washington Watch, as we're joined by notable experts, those who have advocated for and advanced this most fundamental human right, the right of conscience and the freedom to believe. We'll be joined by Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana, chairman of the Republican Study Committee and a religious liberty attorney. Longtime religious freedom and human rights advocate, New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith will provide an update on the state of religious liberty internationally. Then we'll be joined by author Oz Guinness as we explore the connection between and the importance of religious freedom being a priority in our policies here in America as well as in our foreign policy. As always, the website is tonyperkins.com. And by the way, today on this special occasion, we have a number of resources on the topic of religious liberty available at that website, tonyperkins.com. And as always, this program will be archived, and I would encourage you to show this, share it with your friends so that they too can know more about this vital, fundamental freedom of religious liberty. Well, one of the most tireless advocates for religious freedom, great friend of mine who I've known for a long time on Capitol Hill, Congressman Mike Johnson, is a name that you should know. Before being elected to Congress, where he serves as the new chairman of the Republican Study Committee, he had served as an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, with First Liberty, as well as serving as the general counsel for his own public interest law firm. He is certainly not afraid of a religious liberty fight, or any fight for that matter. Whether it's concerning prayer in schools or the ability to live according to our Christian beliefs on marriage and sexuality, or the ability of religious individuals to play a role in the public square. Mike Johnson, great to have you back on Washington Watch here in person today in the studio.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be with you as always, and especially on a day that's as special as this one.
Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the history of this and why this is important and why this is something that we need to pay attention to as Americans.
Well, we should. This is an issue that should be of vital importance to every single American because it's part of the fabric of who we are as Americans, even more fundamentally than that, who we are as human beings. You know, we refer to religious liberty as our first freedom, and people hear us say that often. And we remind them that the reason we say that is because it's exactly what the founders believed.
Right.
You know, if you look in the Bill of Rights, we protect religious liberty first because they understood it was just essential to who we are as a people. And we've jealously guarded that over the history of our country. In recent years, as you and I know and lament all the time, religious liberty and religious freedom, particularly for Christians, let's be frank about it, has been under increasing assault. And so there's a need for everybody to be aware of the issue, to be able to articulate why this is important, and to defend it when that becomes necessary.
Now, one of the pieces of legislation that you've actually been a part of since arriving to Washington is to restore the free speech of churches, caught up in 1954 in the Lyndon B. Johnson amendment to the tax code that essentially put a muzzle on churches and other nonprofits. There is this idea today that churches should be limited, and even beyond that, even Christians, bringing their faith to the public square. Yeah. That is not what Thomas Jefferson was advocating.
It's exactly the opposite. The founders said so often that we are a religious people whose institutions presuppose a supreme being, to quote the Supreme Court, reviewing the writings and the speeches of the founders from the revolutionary period and beyond. They understood that a vibrant presence of faith in the public square was essential to maintain our liberty, our freedom. You know, when you take religious freedom away from a people, their political freedom soon follows. Our founders were students of history. They understood the importance of that. So they did not want one established religion. They didn't want, like, the Church of England. They had fled because of the abuses there. But they did want religion and morality to be central to who we are. Washington's farewell address, he says, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. And so the idea that a pastor could not walk into the pulpit of his own church and speak to the moral and social issues of the day, to apply religious principle, biblical ideas to the issues of the day, it would be anathema to the founders. And so we've got to vigorously defend that and make sure that our federal laws comport with our founding ideals.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana, the new chairman of the Republican Study Committee, my first guest. Has religious liberty become a partisan issue?
It has in some ways, and that's unfortunate. There has been an agenda beyond dispute. If you look at the objective facts on all this, there has been an agenda by a kind of a radical leftist fringe, a secularist element in our culture over the last 50, 60 years or more, that has been trying deliberately to push religion out of the public square. That's created this problem that we talk about. We now have in some sense, a dichotomy, right? There's a difference between your religious life, your religious feeling, your subjective, touchy-feely, emotional thing that they try to define religion as. And some elements in the culture would say, you know, keep that. That's fine for Sunday morning for now, but keep that within the safe four walls of your church. Don't bring it into the public square, as you said earlier. Don't apply that or speak of that in the public square between Monday and Saturday, because this is our objective reality. That's your subjective religious feeling. And again, that's exactly the opposite of what the founders said. Adams, our second president, said, our Constitution is made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. We're still an experiment in self-governance, right? And so the founders said, if you're going to have self-governing people, government of, by, and for the people, as Lincoln said, you have to have this common virtue among the people, or else it will lead to chaos and corruption. And the seedbed of virtue is in our religion, and that's part of our tradition.
Could it be that as we're pushing that religious expression out of the public square and essentially seeking to quarantine it within churches and our homes, that could be a part of the fraying of the fabric of our society?
I think it clearly is. Because when you remove religion and morality, it leads to all sorts of chaos in society. And we were warned by the founders about that reality, and that's what we're facing right now. And that's why the emphasis that you're giving to the issue today, the reason we recognize Religious Freedom Day, is to draw the people's attention to this issue and let them know how important this is for all of us, regardless of our belief.
So you described it a moment ago as essentially a linchpin, that if we lose religious freedom, all of these other pieces that make our government, our society, this experiment as you described it, it all comes crumbling down.
It does. And at the essence of this whole experiment in a constitutional republic, experiment in self-governance, is this idea, as you said at the outset, that we should have the absolute right, our inalienable right, to believe what we wish, to act upon that belief, to have our right of conscience, which next to the right to life is the most essential freedom that you can have. That's why it's protected first in the Bill of Rights, and that's why we have to vigorously defend it.
I mean, it wasn't that long ago, 20 years ago, when the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act was a bipartisan act that was embraced by all. Now you actually have some in Congress essentially advocating for the overturning of the rest of the RFRA Act.
Yeah, this is where it's led. There's an outright effort now to censor and silence religious expression in the public square. There's even beyond that an effort to vilify those who would stand for traditional values or these biblical ideals. Even the idea that we would argue for our inalienable rights, which is again was the premise of the whole country. That's our Declaration of Independence states that so clearly. It's the American creed, as G.K. Chesterton once said, that these rights derive from God, that government should not be in the business of trying to take them away from us. And so it's never been more important for people to understand these ideals and these principles and how they're under assault.
So, Congressman Mike Johnson, what does the average Christian, or let me just go beyond that, the average American need to do to make sure that this fundamental freedom that we celebrate and recognize today is passed on to their children and their children?
The first assignment is a little homework, right? We take for granted that everybody knows these basic truths, and it's surprising to me sometimes that when I get out into public events and do town halls and that kind of thing, that there are a lot of people who have lost sight of these basic ideals, because we've been fed this line of thinking for so long, the separation of church and state and all of these mantras that are pursued by the radical
left. Well, and it's also taught.
It's taught in the schools, there's no doubt about it. In fact, as you implied earlier, sometimes religious principle, religious idea, religious language is deemed to be off limits or somehow a bad thing. That's a bad word. We don't talk about that here. And so the message has been taught by implication or directly to the next generation. So we have a whole generation of Americans who don't even realize they have this freedom. There was a poll that came out in November by one of the major polling organizations, and they asked people to name one of the freedoms protected by the First Amendment, just one of the several. And 40% of adult Americans could not name one freedom protected by the First Amendment. That's frightening for us to recognize. So homework is the first assignment. Read up on a little bit. Remind yourself of basic civics and the Bill of Rights and the importance of these things. And then please talk about it with your children. Talk about it with your neighbors, grandchildren, with the next generation. Because if we don't pass this along, Tony,
right,
I'm afraid it won't be passed along.
And I would just add to that exercise.
Sure.
That's right. If you don't use something, you lose it.
Exactly right.
Whether that's body tone or whether it is the religious freedom that we enjoy as a nation. And of course, there are many, many organizations, some of which you've been associated with, that defend that fundamental right.
Yes, and there's a time to every purpose under heaven, and sometimes it is appropriate to go to court as a last resort and defend those freedoms. And we've had, by God's grace, some real success over the last few decades in defending those. Those battles are critically important, and the groups that do that work need your support.
Congressman Mike Johnson, as always, great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us today and for your work in defending this first freedom.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, more of this special edition of Washington Watch to come when we're joined by New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith. He joins us to talk about the international aspect of religious freedom. The Open Door USA releasing their watch list today, Christians under persecution like never before. We talk about that next with Congressman Chris Smith. Don't go away.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this special Religious Freedom Day edition of Washington Watch, which we are webcasting as well. You know, we think about true human rights advocates on Capitol Hill. Chris Smith is one of the very few names that comes to mind. In fact, for me, it's the first name that comes to mind. Decades ago, he was fighting for religious freedom under Cold War communist regimes when some members of Congress weren't even yet born. He has continued his advocacy to the current day in recent years, giving voice to the voiceless in the Middle East as Christians were being persecuted by ISIS as well as other religious minorities. Chris sponsored the bipartisan Iraq and Syria Genocide Relief and Accountability Act, which President Trump signed into law just last month. He now has turned his attention back to advocating for the persecuted in China, such as the Christians and the Uyghur Muslims being persecuted in unbelievable ways by that government. And we're so glad that he's with us here today to discuss the state of international religious freedom. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. Great to be on.
Appreciate all the work that you've done, and you have been a tireless advocate on behalf of human rights and international religious freedom. Today, Open Doors USA releasing their report on the state of the persecution of Christians globally. And it's gotten worse. I mean, we see the momentum of the last administration neglecting religious freedom. It is going to take some time to really pull back that, to curb that tide of repression. What are you seeing? Where is the, in your view, where's the hot spots?
Well, there are several, unfortunately. And as you know, because you worked to help get the legislation passed, the latest iteration of the Religious Freedom Act, which was named after Frank Wolf.
Right.
The bottom line is that there are more countries of particular concern. There's an explosion of attack, particularly against Christians, as the Open Doors report clearly indicates. But China is in a league of its own when it comes to repression. Xi Jinping, as I think most people know, is in a race to the bottom on human rights across the board. But on religious freedom, he's trying to either co-opt the church or eviscerate it, destroy it. He's trying to do what Mao Zedong tried to do, was unable to do. The church is resilient, but what he's trying to do is get everybody, including a rewrite of the Bible, into a situation where they promote the communist ideals. So they're one in the same.
I want to make sure people don't miss that. The Chinese are actually advocating, they want to rewrite the Bible.
Exactly.
So it reflects their priorities and values.
So it reflects the socialism concepts that they're integrated whole parts of the Bible which are already not taught with the official churches that are recognized as, now will become even worse over the next 5 years, and that's the time frame we understand that they're looking at. But they're co-opting. They're taking clergy, not unlike what the Soviets did in those beginning years when the church was absolutely brutalized with the takeover of communism. The church has flourished despite the repression, and I've met many people in the underground church that have been in prison. Matter of fact, Frank Wolf and I went to house churches on one trip, and everybody but one pastor was arrested. They gladly did it. These are Christians that have courage that I just am in awe of. And the same goes for the Catholics and of course, the Uyghurs, the Muslim Uyghurs. 1 million people have been rounded up and put into prison, whole families. Radio Free Asia has 6 journalists who cover that part of the world for the Muslims and the Uyghurs. All of their families have been rounded up. So we need a far more robust effort. You made an excellent point, Tony, that during the Obama administration, with the exception of Rabbi Saperstein, who did raise the issue strongly, there was almost no buy-in from the whole of government approach that we needed to have. They weren't even putting out CPC designations required by law. Countries of particular concern, bad actors,
right.
They just would bypass it. So I would hold hearings, say, where's the list? Nowhere to be found. So there was a great deal of indifference with the previous administration, and you're right, it takes a while to turn all that around.
Congressman Smith, you talk about countries of particular concern. That's a designation that these are countries that systematically, egregiously violate human rights and religious freedom in this particular case. China remains at the top of that list. We are presently in negotiations as a country with China over trade. Now, they were granted the most favored nation status permanently, but the Trump administration in negotiations. Should this not be a factor when you look at human rights and religious freedom?
The biggest mistake that Bill Clinton made in May of 1994 was to de-link human rights from trade.
Right.
Our trade deficit is off the charts now in favor of the Chinese because they exploit their workforce. There's no labor unions there. There's no ability to protect the labor force. But on all the other human rights issues, they've gone from bad to worse. So that's when the pivot, in my opinion, began to occur. We should link them. Trade ought to be linked with human rights progress. We're not asking for nirvana overnight. We're not asking just moving in the right direction. Instead, under Xi Jinping, the president elected not by the people, they're moving in the precise opposite direction. Matter of fact, they're in the race at the bottom with Pyongyang, with North Korea on human rights abuses. They're crushing faith-filled people. And yes, they stand up, they endure the torture, but the rest of the world needs to stand up and say, wait a minute, led by the United States, religious freedom, that first right, needs to be protected in China.
You mentioned the International Religious Freedom Act, known as the Frank Wolf Act, passed 20 years ago. In fact, we celebrate the 20th anniversary of that this year. You were a key part of that. I serve now on the USERF Commission, which was a product of that. Where do we stand 20 years later?
Well, I always look at laws like Frank Wolf's landmark law. And matter of fact, when we did the other one 3 years ago, we named it after Frank in honor of his tremendous contribution. Things would be far worse without it. The IRFA office and the commission that you serve so ably on does provide, you know, real scrutiny to countries. It gives us the ability as lawmakers and policymakers to make informed decisions and to raise these issues. The executive branch does it with the office. So all of that taken together, it's a, you know, it would be far worse without it. That said, there's so much more we could do. China has been a CPC country from day one.
I want you to hold that thought because we've got to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what can be done and what the Trump administration is doing as it pertains to international religious freedom. Folks, you're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch, a Religious Freedom Day edition of the program. Congressman Chris Smith, my guest in this segment. Still to come, author Oz Guinness joins us to talk about the interconnection between domestic religious freedom and religious freedom as a part of our foreign policy abroad. That's still to come here on this special edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy that inspire us from childhood, such as unicorns and the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being, from the Loch Ness Monster to big tax refunds. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. Since 1973, these abortion myths have grown a substantial foothold in developing a climate of fear, misinformation, and a culture of death in the United States. In FRC's new analysis, learn whether most Americans support abortion on demand, and if a fetus does in fact feel pain in the womb. Join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this special Religious Freedom Day edition of Washington Watch. Well, it's long been woven throughout the fabric of American life. Religious freedom is not merely our right, but an inherent human right for all people everywhere. As President Trump noted in his proclamation, this truth led him to direct the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom around the world be convened by our government this past summer, and he's already declared that there will be another one coming this summer as Secretary Mike Pompeo will oversee that. Chris Smith, we were just discussing the 20 years after the passage of the International Religious Freedom Act, what needs to be done. I want to continue that conversation and transition into what this administration is doing and what they can do more of.
Well, one, they're shining the bright light and bringing a great deal of scrutiny to countries that are repressing religious belief, persecuting believers themselves, especially through torture and jailing. There are a number of countries on the CPC list, others that ought to be on it, as we were talking earlier, like Turkey, where there is a crackdown under the current regime, that Erdogan, that is right. Unconscionable. China has been on the CPC list from the first year after enactment of the law, but there needs to be more done, I believe, in terms of the sanctions regime. There are approximately 18 specific things that could be done towards a country on the list, the egregious violator list, like China. Many of those have not been done. So I think we need to ratchet up our penalty phase, if you will, towards countries like China, where there's this ongoing and now under Xi Jinping worsening crackdown on faith of all kinds, from Tibetan Buddhists to Christians to Muslims to Falun Gong. Across the board, they're trying to either co-opt the leadership or destroy them. Mm-hmm. And the use of torture, as we all know in China, is a given. It's pervasive beyond words. If you're arrested and you're a religious prisoner, you will be tortured. One of the women who testified at our hearing just a few weeks ago told how she was put into this chair, and I've had hearings on the chair itself, horrible, hideous contraption employed routinely by the Chinese government that tortures these individuals. And this poor woman, mother of triplets, told the story how she prayed to God that she would die. It was so horribly painful to her. And they use it routinely against believers. So all of that has to be brought out. The UN has done a poor job whether it be the Human Rights Council or any other other specialized agencies, in bringing to fore their horrific repression of religious belief. That has to change, and I think our administration could do more there. I think they will. But the summit that you mentioned, the ministerial,
right,
was a breakthrough, and Sam Brownback, our ambassador,
right,
at large, and of course Pompeo, Secretary Pompeo, did a magnificent job laying out the issues, the importance that we ascribe to it. So all of that is good, but the key is that it be every day. Every posting, every embassy, every mission abroad has to make religious freedom a very, very important part of their work, not just, you know, doing the next trade deal or the next whatever it might be.
Well, not just check a box, that
That's
we,
right.
we dealt with religious liberty. But in your time in Congress,
yeah,
and you've seen administrations come and go, you've seen the worsening of this issue. Are you hopeful, given what you've seen from the first 2 years of this administration, that it is going to be a core value that drives their foreign policy?
Oh, I'm very hopeful. I think the fact that the administration picked such an extraordinary man like Sam Brownback to lead the effort, the fact that the commission that you serve on is being paid close attention to when you issue reports and admonish certain things to happen, the fact that Pompeo himself, Secretary Pompeo, is so strongly focused on this. But there are so many distractions.
Right.
Some of them, obviously, are more than distractions, crises around the world. We can never lose focus, because if you get the religious freedom part right, and if you get human rights in general right, the other problems don't go away, but they're certainly mitigated.
Right.
I've argued that from China from day one, when delinking of most favored nation status and human rights was done by President Clinton in an infamous abandonment of the people of China. When he did that, rule of law, like copyright infringement and all of that, became worse too. Because if you get the human rights piece right, you treat people with respect and dignity.
Well, and there's a growing body of research that shows that when you
yes.
get the religious freedom, the human rights aspect right, greater political and cultural stability and economic security.
The empirical data clearly shows that. China would be doing something in their own interest, maybe not their power, but their own interest as a society, if they allowed people the freedom of conscience to believe or not to believe, which is a universally recognized human right that they've ascribed to at the United Nations.
Before we run out of time here, up against a break,
sure,
what can our listeners be doing on this issue of international religious freedom? What should they be
doing?
Well,
first and foremost, pray. Pray for the suffering church. When I read Richard Wurmbrand's book in 1981, Torture for Christ, horribly tortured in Romania. I've read it many times since. The first thing that is called for is that we pray, we act responsibly and very, very effectively to make sure our lawmakers are raising it, linking it to trade, linking it to other parts. Don't let it be isolated where it's a one-and-done statement.
Right.
Yeah, do better on religious freedom, then moving on to the more important things. It has to become central. And our last bill, as you know, Tony, because you helped get it passed, the Frank Wolf International Religious Freedom Act, makes clear we want a whole-of-government approach. So your listeners and others should say, make sure the Commerce Department is talking religious freedom and all the other aspects of our government, not just the religious freedom branch inside of state.
Chris Smith, as always, great to have you on the program. Thank you
thank
for
you.
Your leadership on this most important issue.
Tony, thank you so much.
All right. Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey. When we come back, Oz Guinness joins us to talk about how does this all come together? Why is this so important? And what must we do to preserve it? That's next on this special edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more after this.
The world on our horizon is like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to our other free resources, go to frc.org/connect.
Washington Watch, I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along for this special Religious Freedom Day edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. In fact, several good resources for you there on the website related to today's program. In fact, there is a Washington Post op-ed from Congressman Chris Smith, who was just on talking about China's war on religion. You can check that out there, as well as a number of FRC resources. All of that can be found at TonyPerkins.com. All right, Oz Guinness has been studying and thinking about religious freedom for a long time, and we're glad to have him here today to talk about it. He's the great-great-great-grandson of Arthur Guinness, the Dublin brewer. He was born in China in World War II, where his parents were medical missionaries and a witness to the climax of the Chinese Revolution in 1949. He was expelled, along with many other foreigners, in 1951, returned to Europe, where he studied at Oxford. In fact, he was just recently lecturing here on his last book, his latest book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. He's been, I think you've published over 30 books, and we're glad to have you here as a part of this special broadcast. Let's start, Oz, with you were born in China. We were just talking about China, the growing repression there of religious minorities, Christians in particular. How important is what is happening in China to American Christians here?
Incredibly important, because China's increasingly a grand rival. But it's happening at the same time as we're moving from what's called a post-truth world to what's increasingly a post-rights world, and that's very deadly. In other words, since World War II, it's been taken for granted, human rights, the Universal Declaration, this is the Bible of the secular world, that sort of stuff. Now it's dismissed. It's Western-centric. It hasn't got a foundation. Or it's a new book, The Last Gasp of Utopianism. So we're moving to a post-rights world. But we who are Christians and followers of Jesus, we have the deepest grounding. Humans made in the image of God. That's why it's inalienable.
Right.
You can't ground it in many of the secular views. So what's happening in China, both their power, but also a grand secular and a communist state, incredibly important for the human future.
But in part being fueled by America's view of this fundamental freedom. Because, I mean, it almost gives them a pass.
You were talking with Chris Smith about RFRA.
Right.
Since RFRA, and I was involved earlier in the Williamsburg Charter, there's been a sea change. So after 300 years, what's happening in many elite circles is unrecognizable in the light of American history. And I call it the four dark R's, the reducers, those who reduce religious freedom to freedom of worship.
Right.
The removers, strict separation of state, not freedom for religion, but freedom from religion. Now, you've always had a little of that increasing rapidly. Then the really serious one, the rebranders. So religious freedom along with civil and religious liberty, the first freedom, as you've often said in the program. Today, a code word for bigotry, hatred, discrimination. In other words, they've turned it upside down.
Right.
And then you have what I call the reimaginers, John Lennon, George Soros style, people who live at 30,000 feet in their private jets and from penthouse. You know, imagine there's no religion. Imagine there's no borders. Imagine there's no countries. And these people live at that elite level. They don't understand what makes human beings tick. And so America now has huge parts of the intelligentsia who are night and day's difference from 300 years of America.
I mean, this is a real battle. And it, in your latest book, which I find fascinating, basically the juxtaposing the values that came from the French Revolution to the values that drove the America's war for independence. Those are in sharp contrast, but yet there's some appealing to those values of the French Revolution.
No, absolutely. And you know, 50 years ago last year, there was a call for a long march through the institutions.
Right.
That was cultural Marxism. And you look at the universities and colleges, the press and the media, and the world of entertainment, especially Hollywood, they have won most of those spheres where the ideas are fought. And that's incredibly dangerous because they really owe everything, not to the American Revolution, but to the heirs of the French Revolution. So, you know, in Paul's letter to Galatians, he says, who's bewitched you? This is another gospel. But what's happening in America today is another revolution, the wrong one. And the trouble is, unlike the 1850s, another time of deep division, there is no Lincoln-like leader speaking on behalf of the better angels. And that was the genius of Lincoln. He believed in the Declaration. He articulated that over against slavery, etc., etc. Today, make America great again, the military, yes, the economy, yes, but the idea, this is a country by intention and by ideas. So
it's really
got to speak for them.
It's a revival for those ideas that really birthed America.
Absolutely.
Which religious freedom is central to.
But we've got to have someone at the leadership level to say it. You've got to restore it in civic education, in the public schools, and you've got to have back in the families of America, too.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch on this Religious Freedom Day. Oz Guinness, author, my guest in this final segment. Oz, I want to throw something out here because we were just talking with Chris and talking about the immense persecution. I've heard the testimony now as I've been working internationally on the commission of what's happening. And oftentimes we hear as a response, especially from the church in America, is that, well, you know, the church grows under persecution. When we lose our freedoms, we find the church grows. I find that while there may be truth in that, that is not an excuse to allow this fundamental God-given right to be lost.
No, I agree with you, absolutely. But we need, as Christians, to go back to many of the great founding ideas. And even alongside religious freedom is the notion of freedom. In other words, you've got two very different views of freedom. Now, these things should be taught in our churches because, take, say, freedom and human dignity. They come from the Old Testament. Genesis is the Magna Carta of humanity, that humans are made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
That's where it comes from. So the churches should be teaching the foundations, and that's where so much of this is missing. The same is true of freedom. You cannot find freedom through secularists, the new atheists, and so on. You simply can't, any more than the Greeks who believed in fate, or the Babylonians and the stars, and so on. Freedom is almost unique to the Bible. And Christians should realize we're the heirs, the defenders, the champions of these magnificent truths. They've got to start with the church.
And we shouldn't be apologetic for those views, because everyone benefits from those views. When we pursue freedom and freedom prospers, everyone, whether or not they subscribe to a religious view or the origins of those freedoms, they benefit.
There are about 10 or 12 foundational truths you cannot find anywhere else except in the Bible. And we believe in the gospel, the good news. This is still the best news ever. And we've got to get Christians off the back foot so defensively, with gratitude and with confidence moving out, because we have in the scriptures and in the good news of Jesus, we've got the key to so many of these crises.
You know, Oz Guinness, as one who was not born in this country, you've been here though since, I think, 1984, born in China, as we talked about a few moments ago, you've seen the world, you see what is unfolding. What do you see the connection between Americans understanding, and I'm talking about Christians here in America, understanding the importance of this freedom, and not being reduced to the freedom of worship, but to the freedom of religion, the ability to live your life according to your biblical faith. How important is that to what happens overseas in other countries to other believers?
Mm-hmm. Tony, put it this way. Free societies are very rare, and societies that are diverse and have got religious freedom right are rarer still. So America is the longest running tutorial in the art of political freedom. And if in this present generation America squanders this heritage, it's of historic importance, not just for Americans, because we're near the tipping point. It's historic importance for the entire world. Look at the chaos in my own country, Britain, Brexit currently, the chaos in Europe at large, and the things we've been hearing about the Middle East or China, or we haven't gone, say, Africa, Nigeria, and so on, Boko Haram. If America goes down the drain willfully, it's tragic. Can you think of what Lincoln said? As a nation of free men, either we will be free for all time or die by suicide. And much of America, through its bad choices and the dark consequences, is intent on committing national suicide in terms of freedom. For me as a foreigner, it's tragic.
Well, Oz, let's deconstruct that for a moment. Let's take that apart, dissect it, and walk that back so that our listeners who are listening across this country, many of whom have read your books, what do they do? How do you take that, what we now see as having international implications for the whole world, how we view religious freedom and we pursue that freedom here so that others will benefit from the byproducts of it, what do we do as individuals?
Well, even the three things that have come up repeatedly in the hour, you know, first, leadership. We need to pray for a Lincoln-like leader to articulate these things. Secondly, the restoration of civic education. You can't have the unum to balance the pluribus, a pluribus unum, unless the public schools teach what it is to be citizens again.
Right.
But then you've also referred to the deepest thing that touches all of us, the church. The scandal of the American church, this is the one country in the West where Christians are a huge majority, but non-influential. And tiny, wonderful groups like the Jewish people, or groups we disagree with like LGBT activists, 2% of America, 3% of America, but they have more cultural influence than the huge majority of us who are Christians. We are not as salty and light-bearing as we should be. And we need to ask for restoration, revival, and renewal in the churches that we might make a difference.
It begins with that prayer, praying for our nation, for those leaders, for the persecuted church around the world. But also, as you said, that we might be the messengers of that truth, and in such a way that we engage the culture, not thinking that the culture is the source of our salvation. It is not. But it is where we live, and it is what we've been given. It is it's where we are, and it's where what we are to influence.
In a free democratic republic, we're responsible citizens. You may know someone quoted, "Government of the people, by the people, for the people." That isn't original to Lincoln. Do you know where that originally came from? Was John Wycliffe in the 14th century, who said when the Bible is restored to ordinary people, they will be capable of government of the people by the people. Lincoln was quoting. And actually, biblical foundations are critical to so many of these crises today.
Well, William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, made reference to government being like clocks, taking its motion from men. And if we want godly government, which we all say we do, you don't get it unless you have godly people in government. And so we have to be willing to engage and be involved in our government. Talk for just a moment. We've got a few minutes left before we run out of time. When you look at these principles of the left, which we made reference to a moment ago with the French Revolution and the idea that was really antithetical to religious freedom. I mean, they despised religious freedom. They attacked the church. Is that not what we see in many ways today coming from the left?
Oh, absolutely. If you take political correctness, or take the new views of religious freedom, or take the sexual revolution as a whole, it goes back through Wilhelm Reich to the Marquis de Sade and Jean-Jacques Rousseau. All those ideas come from 1789, and it says, like Nietzsche, not to the American Revolution. So just as Elijah said, if you want to follow Baal, follow Baal. If you want to follow the Lord, follow the Lord. We need a Lincoln. You remember, the first duty of a leader is to define reality. In other words, we need a Lincoln-like leader who will say, this is where we are. This is the State of the Union. To make America great again, we've got to look at the ideas that made America great in the first place. Right. To set them out and make people choose, like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. America's got to choose. One way is a homecoming. The other way is national suicide in terms of a free republic.
Oz Guinness, are you optimistic by what you see?
I don't use those words because they're either psychological, is the glass half full or half empty, or circumstantial, is it a bull market or a bear market? As Christians, I believe we should be absolutely realistic. Look in the white of the eye what's happening. In that sense, I'm sober. But always with hope. The Lord could turn this round in 5 minutes with the right leadership and the right response from Christians and so on. So I'm realistic with hope. It's not all over, but we're close to a Rubicon moment, a tipping point.
Well said. Oz Guinness, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Great to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Folks, I hope you have enjoyed this special edition of Washington Watch on this Religious Freedom Day. We leave on that somber note, but a note of hope, that if you and I will do what we were instructed to do in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Let's pray and do our part. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.